The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Silverow Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Oh, my gosh. We have so much to talk about today. So many guests that we're going to bring to you, covering the craziness of the most radical legislative session in our state's history. We'll get to all of that. But let's begin with today's top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
Although, you know what? Now that I think about it, this is our top story, but it is also a big, fat, I told you so.
The Big Lead, I told you so.
Yeah, that's better. So, last night there was rioting in Seattle. The reason this is an I told you so is because from the very start, I've told you that it was never about racial justice. It was never about social equity. It was never about Donald Trump. It has been about one thing and one thing only, and that is a group of extremists who want to get rid of capitalism and push for Marxism. It doesn't matter if Donald Trump's the president or Joe Biden. This is a Marxist agenda. And in Seattle and Portland, you saw very well-coordinated, manufactured signs that the rioters were carrying. But it was absolutely shameful what was happening in Seattle. As they walked and they smashed that Amazon Go store for the, as my mom would have said, the umpteenth time. They went to the original Starbucks store, which is a historical place, the very first Starbucks down by the market. They smashed all the windows there, smashed all the windows at the federal courthouse. They burned an American flag in the middle of the street. It was a riot. I found it interesting. Seattle Times, TV stations called it protest. They weren't protesting anything. They were rioters who want Marxism. I will say, at least in my Northwest, they didn't call it a protest. They didn't quite call it a riot either, but they said Seattle police arrest three people during destruction downtown, which is about the closest to an accurate headline that I've seen, because these were riots. And of course, since it was Antifa and Black Lives Matter behind it, then they most refuse to call it a riot. It is only a riot if it is right-wingers who are creating the damage. But if it's left-wingers, then it's just a protest. And so last night there was this riot in Seattle. So it is about Marxism. It is about getting as much crime on the streets throughout our region as is possible. And the chant was proof of that. They want criminals on the streets. And I'm talking about, you believe their chant? They want murderers and rapists to not be charged and to be on the streets. Just listen. No cops, no prison, total abolition. So taken literally, and I believe they are this radical, they would like murderers and rapists to go free. If there are no cops, there's nobody to investigate crimes. If there are no prisons, then rapists and murderers would just walk the streets with the law abiding, until the law abiding get raped or murdered, and then they'll be in a morgue or a hospital, and they won't be walking the streets with the criminals. But this has long been, and I've told you about this for 3 years now, this has been the goal, to release as many criminals onto the streets to up the amount of crime. And then they believe that out of the destruction will rise their Marxist utopia. Here's my question. If our politicians weren't in cahoots with the rioters, why didn't they stop this last night? Down in Olympia, we have spent millions and millions of dollars having the National Guard protect the Capitol and the Democratic side of the legislature. The Republicans said, this is unnecessary. We don't need a fence. We don't need troops. But Jay Inslee, because the mob went to the governor's mansion a couple of weeks ago, so Jay Inslee, who's against a border wall, put up walls in Olympia to protect his mansion, to encircle the state capitol. Why didn't they say that? There's been no threat in Olympia for ages now. They said, oh, something might happen on Inauguration Day. Nothing was happening. There weren't any crowds massing in Olympia. Why didn't Jay Inslee send some of the National Guard in Olympia up to Seattle last night? Because this was not a surprise, this riot. It was talked about openly on social media by known Antifa and Black Lives Matter members. And they said what they were going to do. They did it in Portland last night. They did it in Seattle. They telegraphed it. And without question, law enforcement knew about this. So Jay Inslee keeps the National Guard in Olympia for no problem, and he won't protect businesses up here in Seattle. And this just goes back to last summer when Jay Inslee refused to let the National Guard come in as there were riots ripping apart this region for months on end. Here's MSNBC talking about it.
Governor Inslee here deploying the National Guard yesterday, about 400 individuals in total. But this is the center of a conflict with President Trump. He, as we saw today, gave that address to the nation. Governor Inslee here in Washington pushing back on the notion that the National Guard should get more involved with these protesters. In fact, he just put out a statement not too long ago saying, Governor Inslee saying about the president, his admiration of authoritarians around the world should not allow him to violate 200 years of American tradition of local law enforcement.
Okay, so Jay Inslee was adamantly against the National Guard to protect a city that was burning last summer. But he was thrilled that there was a military takeover of Washington, D.C. yesterday when 26,000 military, National Guard were there to encircle and protect the Capitol, our nation's capital. But down in Olympia, he also deployed the National Guard because politicians were the ones who might be inconvenienced. But when homes and businesses were being torn apart in Seattle, he was adamantly against it, as you just heard. Here's the other issue. Remember Joe Biden during the debates. You cannot solve a problem if you refuse to even acknowledge what the problem is.
Antifa is an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not militia.
Antifa is an idea, not an organization. Has he not seen what's been taking place in Seattle, in Portland, Minneapolis, New York City? But then at his inauguration yesterday, he said, oh, there is one group that he will go after.
A rise of political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront and we will defeat.
White supremacy, domestic terrorism. What about left wing? What about Antifa, domestic terrorism? What about Black Lives Matter, Marxism? Will you go after that? No, no mention of those. Even though they are doing thousands of times more damage and destruction and murders. Maybe not thousands of more murders. but at least 24 people have been murdered in the rioting around America over the last year. But to Jay Inslee, it's more important to protect his home than hardworking business owners, places of work in Seattle last night. He kept the National Guard down in Olympia, which is just shameful. When they knew, when they had not just intelligence, they had tweets from known left-wing extremist organizations that they were going to riot in Seattle. And this complete abdication of responsibility, this refusal to care at all for the citizens, the taxpayers, the hardworking people of this state, it continues to boggle the mind. And then we now have a president who thinks that it was merely an idea that was burning the American flag in the middle of a downtown street last night. Oh, they also burned a Joe Biden flag. They can't stand Joe Biden. They just want Marxism. They will hate and they will destroy until they get their dream of a Marxist utopia or until they're squashed like bugs. And I don't mean physically, but I mean with great force. The National Guard should have protected downtown Seattle last night instead of standing by when there was no threat in Olympia. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
K through second graders in the Bellevue School District are back in school today. There's just one thing missing. They're teachers. The Bellevue Teachers Union has voted to strike because they won't go back to school until they get a vaccine, we are told. And once again, what is being told to us is very different from truth and reality. You know, just as with the rioting story, the way it's being presented by the protagonists. They don't want the vaccine. They want to keep doing minimal work for maximum pay. And working from home is minimal work for a school teacher. I'm not saying it's necessarily easy, but it's easier than being in the classroom. And so the Bellevue school teachers, they're so desperate to keep working from home, even though it has been horrible for kids educationally. And Bellevue parents are the proof of that. I mean, they know what's going on with their kids, and they've been begging to get kids back in the classroom. And as I heard about the teachers going on strike, which is illegal, by the way, in the state of Washington, public employee strikes are illegal. So the teachers are breaking the law. Now, unfortunately, there's no punishment. Unfortunately, the teachers' union has bought and paid for the legislature and the governor. If we had a strong governor, he should get replacement teachers in there right now and tell them the job is yours. Our teachers have broken the law. But what struck me is, I don't even know what the word is. Like, it's just scummy. You have these kids who have been sitting in front of a video screen for most of the last year, and kindergarten, first, second graders, they finally can get back into their school, and their teachers aren't there. The teachers aren't there. How do you do that to your kids? Well, it's the union. But if you are a teacher who truly cares about kids, you should defy your union. You should obey the law. You should go back to work. You should put your kids above yourself. You should put your kids above your union. But they are, you know, pushing this. Here's the president of the teachers union in Bellevue talking to Cairo 7.
People feel like they're being asked to sacrifice their life just to have bodies in buildings. They're asking the district to hold off on the return to in-person learning.
They're being asked to sacrifice their lives. There have been hundreds and hundreds of kids back in Bellevue schools in the last few months. They haven't had one outbreak. They haven't had one transmission. There have been kids back in school across in states across America, in countries around the world. There is no evidence that it has in any way spread the coronavirus. And yet they just come out and they say this stuff that has zero data to back it up. None. And so I think it's shameful. I think it is just absolutely shameful that these kids are back in school today and the excitement is tempered by the selfishness of a teachers' union and the members who are following the union instead of following what's right. Okay, finally, in the big lead.
The big lead, Bizarro World.
I'm going to talk right after the news at the bottom of the hour with a friend of mine who's a legislator who has introduced a bill that I think is ridiculous. It's a bill that would mandate, our Nicole Jennings broke the story yesterday. It's a bill that mandates if you are a kayaker or a paddleboarder, you'll have to take a boating education class and get a license like somebody who operates a motorboat. And Scott Hawley is the president of Eddyline Kayaks. He is leading a petition against
during this. The COVID era, there's a lot fewer ways that you can safely recreate. Paddle sports is one of them.
Yeah, we're going to cost, it's like $45 to take the class and to get your license. Why are we making it tougher for people to get exercise?
Because of the availability of low-cost rental and purchase options, it really is accessible to people with lower income.
Yeah, no, we're going to go after all of those people. John Lovick, good friend of our show, is the sponsor of this bill, and I hate this bill. So we're going to hash it out on air right after we check the news. That is your big lead.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we will indeed check the news for you. And then State Rep John Lovick, who has introduced a bill that I think is ridiculous. We're going at it. Next on the Dory Monson Show. Let me tell you what is one of the great nightmares of a talk show host. You hear about a bill in Olympia that you think is ridiculous, and then when you're all set to rail against it, you realize the sponsor is a good friend of yours who you don't want to rail against. And that's the position I'm in today. There's a bill in Olympia that would mandate boating safety courses and a license if you want to paddle a kayak or a paddle board. And the sponsor is Representative John Lovick, who joins us here in the Dory Monson Show. John, it's great to talk with you.
Dory, it's always good to talk to you. We've had many conversations together. We haven't agreed on everything, but we are still friends.
Well, and let's get to the commonality of the friendship. How many turkeys did you deep fry in 2020 in the midst of a pandemic?
You know, I didn't do very many. I would be hard-pressed to say I did five or six. I think I did five over Thanksgiving, but I didn't do very many. But we're going to get back to that.
Okay, I understand. Okay, so, John, a license and a boating safety course if somebody wants to paddle a kayak? Why?
Dory, I hear your argument, and I'm sitting here at my desk, and I see I have a Shrammy on my desk, and if Ken were alive, he would probably be calling me too. So I honestly expected to get a, you know, Dory, I wrote the bill as an idea to bring awareness that our waters are dangerous. And the idea being is that we need to educate the public that our waters are dangerous. We need to train them. And then at some point we need to legislate. So that's where the idea came from.
Okay, but here's
education,
what it sounds,
training and legislation.
Here's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like you're going after the fly with a sledgehammer here. And I say that because I'm an absolutist about wearing a life jacket. I know river safety and rescue people who have told me that they've never pulled a dead body from a river wearing a life jacket. And that might be a slight exaggeration, but it's for the most part true. So why wouldn't you just say, let's figure out a way to get life jackets on kayakers and paddleboarders instead of having to sit in front of their computer, take a course, carry a license? That just sounds like the nanny state to the extreme to me.
Dory, you know, I hear that, and I remember, I don't know if you and I had this conversation, I heard those same things when we were trying to legislate other things like wearing of a seatbelt, making it mandatory. I heard some of the same things then. You know, Washington State is the fifth worst state in the nation for water safety deaths. Fifth. The only states in front of Washington State are Florida, Texas, California, and Alabama, and we simply can do better. And this is an idea to, like I said, to bring some awareness to this, to try and train and make us number one at everything that we do, one of the safest states in the nation. And I'll just say this, Dory. You probably know this. I spent 13 years in the Coast Guard, and I don't know how many bodies I pulled as we were out rescuing people. But it's tremendously serious when you talk about water safety. So we need to do this.
Right. Have you, I assume you have, if you're in the Coast Guard, have you taken the boating safety course?
No, I have not. But I did a lot of training during my time in the Coast Guard.
Okay.
And I haven't been in the Coast Guard for 30 plus years.
Okay. But here's why I asked this, John, because a few years ago, the state of Washington mandated if you have a personal watercraft, as I do, I have a Sea-Doo, I ride it a lot. And they said, you have to now take the boating safety course and carry a license. And that sounded ridiculous to me, but I did it. But so much of it is about power crafts and how you pass somebody on the left or right when you're encountering a boat that's coming at you, that you're passing, whatever. Kayaks and paddleboarders, they don't do any of that stuff, almost nothing in a boating safety class that we all have to take for power craft. None of that applies to kayakers and paddleboarders. So why make them do it?
Well, you know, Dory, I what you're saying is pretty much what I listened to the testimony yesterday, and the majority of the opposition came from experienced paddleboard operators, experienced kayakers, experienced canoers. We're just saying that those people will not have to go through all this training. They can test out. We want those inexperienced people to get this training, and that's what this bill, that's what I hope to do if we get this bill passed.
How would the experienced ones test out? They have to go take a class from the state?
We will have, it's going to be in the rulemaking process, but I'm sure that as we work with the Parks Department, we'll probably work out some rulemaking processes that they will be able to do maybe a test on the computer and be done with it. And experience matters. We're just trying to save lives. We had, I think, 13 people lost their lives while operating human powered vessels last year. I think 100 and if I remember right, 79 in the last 5 years prior to 2020. So those are the things that we want to do.
Well, and I'm sorry. I mean, every life is precious.
Every life is precious.
But you're talking about, 79 deaths. There are tens of thousands of people who paddleboard and kayak. Why would all of them have to pay a fee? And it's a fee to the state of Washington to take the class. You have to get the license. You have to renew the license every few years. It's going to be a massive cost.
I really appreciate what you're saying. It's not going to be the card is going to cost $10, and it'll be for life. And I know I've heard comments about low income people. There's no doubt in my mind that we could work with the Parks Department and make sure that low income people will not have to pay those fees. I'm after the safety, not about all of these other things. I'm after safety on the water, and we should all be supportive of this.
So how far will that extend? Why not inner tubers?
Dory, we could speculate on every single thing that we do out
serious.
Here.
I'm serious.
No, I'm
You go out to any river in the summertime, and there are a bunch of young people, and I know this because my girls have done it. My producer, Nicole, has done it. They'll go inner tubing. They won't wear a life jacket. Are we going to go after inner tubers, too?
You know, I don't think so. During what I'm after is some consistency on our waters. You know, if you have to have do a safety class for power boats, why not have the safety class for human-powered vessels? And that's what we're looking for, some consistency on our waters.
Okay, by the way, I just pulled up the boatad.com/Washington. Mm-hmm. Costs $35 to get your boating certification.
Okay, $35, and then the card itself, I believe, will be $10.
And a $10.50 state fee. So it's going to be $45 for tens of thousands of people who right now are responsible for their own life and safety and doing nothing wrong. That's what I say, John. It just sounds like an unbelievable nanny state expansion.
Well, Dory, I hope it's not. I don't believe it is. I'm hopeful that when we the fact that we're talking about this, it will bring some attention to this, and that people will agree that it's something that we should do. And I expect to talk to you next year and kind of thanking me and saying what a great idea this was. I believe you will. You'll probably say the same thing I'm looking at my Shremmy here. You'll probably say the same thing that Ken said when we had a primary seatbelt law. He said, man, what a great idea. You see those signs up around the state, click it, a ticket. I got to come up with a nice line for this one.
I still think if people don't want to wear a seatbelt, they shouldn't have. I think ticketing people for no seatbelt, that's a personal responsibility thing. And suffer the cons. I won't go 2 inches without a seatbelt, but I think people should just have to suffer the consequences of their decision-making. But that's just me. But, John, I always, I really appreciate you coming on and talking to me about it. And I still love you, even though I disagree with you on this.
Durham, we've always been friends. It's delightful to be on your show. Thank you.
All right, thank you. State Representative John Lovick joining us. What do you think about this proposed bill? You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. As you know, Washington is a sanctuary state. And the reason for that, as is the reason for every decision that is ever made politically, it's money and power. The more illegals you have in the state, they get counted among the population, and that's how you get an extra congressional seat, which we do here in Washington. We have an extra congressional seat because of it. The one thing that Jay Inslee has never acknowledged is, because of sanctuary, because of the sheer number of people who are here illegally, when one of them commits a crime, that's on the governor. It is. If they weren't here, they wouldn't be here to commit the crime. Like the Kittitas County deputy who was murdered by someone here illegally a couple of years ago. And we're reminded today of just the travesty of sanctuary. And this is particularly relevant now that Joe Biden is president, because he has certainly signaled a open borders policy. He has told illegals that in 8 years, he will give them a path to citizenship in 8 years, which is an incentive to illegally break into this country. If you tell people that even if you don't do things the right way, we already have 1 million legal immigrants who we make citizens. We have the most generous legal immigration policy in the world. No other country has 1 million legal immigrants every year. And many of them wait years for their place in line. But Joe Biden is saying, no, we're going to give you an incentive to come into the country illegally. Which, again, you know, especially now with our economy trying to recover from the coronavirus, if you come in illegally, you either will take a job from an American citizen or you will become a financial ward of the state. And the government, meaning the taxpayers, will pay for your housing, your education, your medicine. You know, Joe Biden raised his hand. He wants health care for illegals in our country. Health care for illegals. Educating kids, all of that. So either you're taking a job from an American citizen or you become a financial ward of the taxpayers. The reason I was reminded of all of this and why politicians need to be responsible for sanctuary policy, MS-13 gang member was released in another sanctuary city, Los Angeles. And once again, it was because the jail he was in refused, was not allowed to communicate with ICE. MS-13, you've heard of it, you know of it, a notoriously violent gang with mostly illegal immigrants from El Salvador, and they are just brutally violent. This guy had been deported 10 times, which shows you how porous our borders remain. It also shows what a failure Donald Trump was at, you know, his biggest first campaign promise to build that wall. But this guy, Herbert Flores, he was released by the Los Angeles Police Department. They refused to cooperate with ICE. And he went to his ex-girlfriend's house. And in front of Karen Ruiz's three-year-old daughter, he murdered that little girl's mom in front of her. And then he committed suicide. And you think just of the trauma of that three-year-old kid. And it was all because of a government policy that encourages people to illegally break into our country. The most recent notorious example in our state is the murdered Kittitas County deputy. But this is the latest in sanctuary cities. And it's going to get so much worse with Biden, Joe Biden as president. Okay, lots more to come. Fastest 15. I got a couple things to get off my chest.